Everyone, Falte got Daniel Gucci and the other bit. Misha Brendan O'Davnia and Shaw. Of course, Shinmo couple of Fokla for Cunny Shakton Nagilaga. Cunny Suis A. We're going to throw on a couple of Fokla here tonight. We have a fluent speaker with me, Jimmy Stafford. He's shaking his head slightly. He's maybe going to give it a lash. Jimmy's here. He's producing the show this evening, looking after him. He's flanking me to my left and coming up on the show this evening. As ever, a packed show. Shortly, we're going to hear from Mickey McCann, Donegal hurling boss. After his side's promotion push was dealt a bit of a blow at the weekend with a defeat to Wicklow. We're going to be talking to him about the game, about the final league game coming up, and of course the coming of Brian Cody to Donegal up to the Burt dinner dance. Mickey will be in attendance at that, as will I. So looking forward to chatting to Mickey. Now, shortly after that, we will be speaking with Gaelic Life's Michael McMullen. We're actually speaking to Irish news columnist Cathair O'Kane. I'm looking at some of my last week's notes. Hey, I mixed up a bit here. We'll be speaking with Cathair O'Kane of the Irish News, and also Sleacht Neill coach Gary McDade will be on the show. We'll be chatting all things Donegal. Do they want to hit a league final? We'll be talking about Derry's rise, Tyrone, Stuttering, warm weather training camps, and lots more with the two guys coming up shortly. Just from the weekend, there was a huge victory for the Minor Ladies, 2-14-4 points. Well done to them against Monaghan, and the Minor Lads were in action as well. Carl Lacey's team, he's in charge of them now. They drew with Antrim. But I'd say first up on the show, we're going to speak with Donegal hurling banister Mickey McCann. Mickey, how are you this evening?
All good, Brendan. Yourself?
Mickey, you're probably thinking, hey, why did you leave it to this week? They have me on after that brilliant opening four-game salvo. But listen, the league's a league, Mickey, and you've been around the game a long time now. Sometimes, you know, in defeat, you learn a lot more. Can you just kind of sum up the game from the weekend? I know there was a lot of wides and balls dropped short in that. It was a very, I suppose, uncharacteristic performance from our lads.
Yeah, Brendan, I suppose we left Donald Park disappointed yesterday in our own performance, you know. Probably the last three games, Brendan, summing up the league, we had a tough day out against Tyrone, which was a good battle, you know. But the last three games, you know, nobody's laid a glove on us. The closest anybody's been to us is 10 points and stuff. And probably the level Wicklow brought yesterday, we haven't been at that since the Tyrone match. So I think we're found out a wee bit there, you know, and we're a wee bit complacent and maybe thought we were in a better place than we were, you know. But look, at the start of the league, Brendan, we'd take it. If we had a shot at the last day out and a chance for promotion, we would take it. But Wicklow was very good yesterday, but it felt, you know, we were poor on the day, Brendan, and they looked a lot hungrier. We might have missed a lot of chances, but Wicklow were no doubt the better team, you know, and very physical yesterday.
And Mickey, was it that thing where, I suppose, yourself and Tyrone, that was a huge kind of opening day victory? And then since then, as you said, we've really, you know, controlled games and won them out easy. But Mickey, is that something, as I say, you know, obviously you've seen so much in that, whereas the league, you know, you get that almost like a turning point and you leave the game actually a wee bit sick thinking, right, what happened there? But it actually turns out being a positive in terms of injecting that last game now to Roscommon, getting the across the line, getting up the league, but then preparing for championship, knowing that should that kind of eventuality come again, that you'd be ready for it.
Yes, we've got to learn from this, Brendan. As you say, the days you beat is the day you learn more, and we've got to do that because realistically, there's three Christy Ring teams in this division, you know, and Wicklow, ourselves, and North Commons are three. So we had the two toughest games coming last. So we hope to be in a position where we're unbeaten coming to Wicklow with the Wicklow game. And even we did lose that, we're still going to do a match against Roscommon. Either way, head to head would put us through. So but the key thing is, Brendan, we've got to be playing these teams at that level, the Christy Ring level, because that's where we're going into in championship. So, as you say, the league's a league, but we're getting a true run of things where we're at, you know, now when we're playing the likes of Wicklow and Andy Roscommon. And we're hoping that game yesterday we learned from and we get up to that speed quicker against Roscommon, you know, and hopefully we can get into a promotion spot and the league final, you know.
Yeah, and Mike, is even the games going against you like that? In terms of somebody kind of stepping it up, is it a hard thing? I know you've got half time in that, but is it a hard thing to kind of deal with as a coach? Do you feel that some days it can't be turned, you know, in terms of kind of, as you said, if a team comes in and get very physical at it, unless you're ready for that early on, does it really set the tone for the game?
It does, Brendan, and it's hard to fix, you know, as they always say, when they cross the white line, it's down to them. And I felt from early stages, Wicklow were really on top, you know, and they must maybe three wides before the register scored, and we were very sloppy. And but look, I thought we seen the storm out. We settled down. We got it to 5 each, and they went 6-5 up. Very tight. We were playing against the breeze. So, and the last 5 minutes of the second half, they made a point or two in it. So I was thinking, you know, we haven't played great, and we're within touching distance here, and we have the breeze to come in the second half. But then, look, we give away 2 or 3 sloppy frees, and the gap opened out to 5. But as you say, on the sideline, Brent, it's hard to fix if you're not bringing that intensity and you're being outworked and stuff. It's hard to fix, you know, from the sideline. You get them in at half time, and we did fix a lot of it. We put ourselves in a good position for scores, you know, in the second half. I think we had 6 wides in the first 10 minutes of the second half, you know, and shot ourselves out of it. And Wicklow at the other end were just clipping the scoreboards and getting frees and kept that gap of 5 or 6 points throughout. So, look, as you say, we were a wee bit flat at half time, you know, and it was trying to get them up for it again. So, hopefully we learn from it, Brendan. We're in that position again, because 5 points is not on a hurling game. And, yeah, you know, knowing we didn't play great, we should have been, you know, thinking going out in the second half, we're going to win this game. But look, that's not the way it worked out, and we'll have to lick our wounds and move on.
Yeah, that's it. It's always learning. Okay, what about Roscommon then last day? It's all on now for this. I mean, it fairly sets up a big game, Mickey, and in many ways you'll see a reaction from the lads in training now. And you know that's what I'm saying about the league, Mickey. Sometimes when you have an off day like that, it really focuses everybody then for the big next game to come. And it's a massive game, Roscommon away.
Yeah, I suppose Roscommon has beat Wicklow on the first day out, Bren. I do feel Wicklow's a better side now. I think Roscommon maybe got 4 or 5 points in the last 2 or 3 minutes. So look, down to a good pitch, Hyde Park, super pitch for hurling, and there'll be no excuses on that end. So the last few times we've met, we've come out on top against Roscommon. So we're hoping, as you say, we get a bounce and the boys just lick their wounds and get ready to put it right against Roscommon and maybe get another shot at Wicklow. But yesterday, Brendan, there was just too many balls fumbled, and we needed two or three touches at times, dropping catches, and that caused too many rucks against Wicklow, and they were more physical, bigger, stronger team, and that's how we lost the game. So, and Roscommon started similar, you know, they're big lads and stuff, we're kind of more pacey and like to move the ball quick. So if we can tidy up on the wee basic stuff, you know, we'll have a good shout against Roscommon.
You mentioned, Mickey, the championship to come. What, no warm weather training camps on the horizon now? We're hearing a lot about them this week.
No, nothing for us yet, Brendan, anyway. So we'll see what happens this week. We actually, if a bit was coming, we could be away to Aucrum the following week for a league final, you know. So our schedule's a bit tighter, Brendan. You know, I think we've only 2 weeks break in the championship, so we might get a wee training camp in Ireland somewhere, you know.
Hold on 1 second, Mickey. Gary, would you turn down your mic there? Gary McDee has jumped in. Gary, this is hurling. Hey, unless you want to get involved, I know you're not a bad coach, but this might be something out of your league there, kid. Gary's coming up next. He's just jumped on the Zoom there. Mickey, tell me, you just mentioned their championship. Mickey, how is the squad in terms of health then, in terms of having everybody back for championship and ready?
Just talk about the squad, Brendan. We're massive transition over the last couple of years. You know, I'm just counting, we've something like 8 players. We have 6 retirements the last couple of years, and then we lost Steve McBride and Sean Ward, who are away with the Army, Irish Army at the minute, and not back to near the end of the championship. So 2 massive players, and along with other lads. And then at the weekend, we're missing Danny Cullen with the red card, and Ron McDermott also. We'll have Danny and Ronan back the next day. Conor Gertland picked up a serious hand injury yesterday, I think, Brendan. Doesn't look good at the minute. So he'll be getting more feedback on that. So he's going to be a massive loss, and he could be possibly out for the rest of the championship. But we've Josh Connolly coming back into the fray too, and we're hoping McBride now doesn't get back out. He's home for a 2-week break from the Army, but he mightn't get back out the way flight sense is. So we're hoping that Stevie is about for us now. So a lot of young boys coming in terms of John Keeley, you know, Connor Diver, Donald Farley, Dan Donnelly, who've all got good game time now, and a couple of them regular starters. So we've got a transition, but we're happy enough where we're at, Brendan, with the squad.
Yeah, good man. Mickey, hey, great to see that. Listen, hopefully my injuries clear up. That's a couple of key men, all right. Mickey, the Burt dinner dance coming up, you're bringing up one of your fellow managers, one of the all time. I'd say, in terms of GA, Mickey, he must go down as the greatest ever, Brian Cody. You know, a lot of people forget he won three All-Irelands himself playing and a heap of Leinsters and leagues and all that. But, like, as a manager, I suppose he defined the game of hurling with the, from 99 to 2022, 11 All-Irelands. And it'd be amazing to have him up for the dinner. It's, of course, on the back of your Ulster victory at club level.
Yeah, what a guest to have, Bren, you know, and I suppose some of the younger hurlers mightn't be, know as much as me or you about him, like, but I suppose, and then playing days for Burt back in the early 2000s, right through, Brian Cody was the man that everybody talked about, you know, and that Kilkenny team. So we're really looking forward to having him up in Burt and looking forward to get a chat with him, a man that experience, and you know, and myself too, getting a wee personal chat, just about management and stuff. Really, really big pull for Burt, and you know, people in Burt will be really looking forward to getting a chat and listening to what he's got to say, you know.
Yeah, and have you told Mr. Farron to make sure that you're sitting beside him at the table? I can imagine, you know. If I was you, yeah, I would want a proper chat then. But Mickey, listen, of course, you know, inspirational. You could see the kind of no nonsense, tough kind of style he had, setting standards, something everybody wants to do. But I suppose, Mickey, hurling changes that much, doesn't it, all the time? You know what I mean? It's changing and changing. So, like, even from his time now, like, you know, things seem to be evolving so much in the game.
Yeah, I suppose it's turned a lot possession-based. You know, when you watch the likes of Limerick and Cork and all, and they're all hurling out of defence, where Brian Cody and very traditional, and that Kilkenny team would have been the puck outs are going 80 yards and you won your own ball, and they had the players to do that time, you know, and when the puck outs are coming along the other way, they had a half-back lane and stuff. So he was very traditional, as you say, but one thing he had was a group of players that worked hard for him, and the longevity he got out of them teams and new players coming in was unbelievable. So we're looking forward. The game has definitely changed from Brian Cody's time, you know, but I've no doubt if he was still involved, he'd be pushing that Kilkenny team even further, you know.
They've gone through a bit of a barren spell, certainly after the glory that they had with Brian. Listen, Mickey, really looking forward to that. And listen, we want to wish you all the best getting ready for Roscommon, but we'll be able to kick it back a wee bit Friday night, myself and yourself anyway. And listen, I'm no more than yourself. I'm fascinated just to actually meet the man. So should be a great evening.
No bother, Brent. I'll get a chat to you on Friday night.
Top man. That's Mickey McCann.
All right, Brent.
Fair play.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mickey. Bye. First class. That's the Donegal Bannister, Mickey McCann. And after the break, Gary McDade's mad to get in here. He was almost an impact sub there in the hurling conversation. And Ciara Keane from the Irish News is going to be on too. Two great lads. Looking forward to this chat. Be back after this.
The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's Kitchen, and there's free admission entertainment every weekend.
Welcome back to the DL Debate. I'm going to put my deep radio voice on. Jimmy Stafford's here backing me up this evening. Thank you, Jimmy. Now, as I say, we're going to speak with two men. One of them, a Derry man, one of them coaching in Derry. It's Carol Keane of the Irish News and Gary McDade, the Slough Neil coach. How are you, lads?
How are you?
How are things, boys?
Gary, what were you going to say there about the hurling? You had something to contribute there.
They know all about hurling when he goes to Slough Neil, Breton.
Now you're talking great, like, Carol.
Was me, Devaney, trying to be organised and be early instead of coming in.
That's a good moonshot. That's a good moonshot. Always on time. Just mentioning Cody there. Have you interviewed him, Carr?
Very briefly, a couple of times around games and stuff. But you know, wasn't too many. He didn't do much one-to-one media now. In fairness, with anybody, so there weren't too many. Had dealings with him, and he had his methods and his ways of doing things, which probably they worked for a long time and then they stopped working, and I suppose that's the way the thing moved too.
One man you did talk to though was Jimmy McGuinness after the Dublin game. Of course, you got a couple of words with him. You did get talking to him, Carr. Of course, we were looking at and you were rightly about what's happened with Donegal, changes and that. So you had an interesting chat to or Jim on that evening.
Jim's always interesting, and it's funny, maybe more so in the last 4 or 5 weeks than maybe we've seen in a long time. Maybe it's the proliferation of video stuff now as opposed to just written, but the managers have been great value, and Jim's been among that group, and obviously Kieran McGinney's been great value as well. And when I asked him that question, it was coming from a place of a kind of a genuine question around, I maybe didn't frame it the best now, in fairness as well, but it was coming from a place of, you know, was he going to change or was he going to have to change at that point? But it kind of blew up, and my phone started to hop as soon as I came out of Croke Park that night, and it didn't stop hopping for 3 days after it. So
it's a funny thing that though, Ciar, because when you're in that moment, there's only a few small people in that room, and you're just totally talking as a GE man and as a correspondent. You throw out a question, you don't realise this is going to go boom all over the country, like the biggest thing that's going to come out that evening.
No, look, and it was talked about for the rest of the week, and it was funny because, you know, I thought his answer was, you know, it was spiky enough in one sense, but at the same time, you would have expected nothing else. And I thought he answered in the way that I didn't ever feel that he was crossing me when he was answering. I mean, it was wrong in that, but I just felt that he'd had enough of the kind of noise around it, and this was nearly his opportunity to have a wee slap back at some people that had been talking about it. And look, the answers and the proof will be in the pudding later in the year, and it's fuel for the fire for Donegal at the minute. Like, all that talk, and you know, they have obviously started the season like a house on fire. It's an interesting way to come at the season. They've been interrupted by the youngest child, and this is all going really well.
That's all part of the fun.
Thank you for doing so
well. Your grand Ciar. Gary, just on Ciar's point there, Donegal blistering start. You know, you've obviously won championships as manager, you're coaching, you're doing everything. How do you feel there sometimes, and Gary, in your head, do you feel, right, I've done this, and this, and if somebody comes at it from a different angle, can that be hard to take, or is that something just dependent on the guy, obviously? But if you've built up a certain thing, and if you look at Jim's record, you know, it's unbelievable. Is that, suppose, maybe where he's coming from when somebody asks a question that's, you know, throwing up a what was obviously the beating we got in the final?
Yeah, listen, suppose people always have angles when you're in that position, you know, and you're wondering what angle they're coming at, and loads of time you have a fair idea the angle that they're hunting at and trying to get at you. And listen, at the end of the day, the journalists, it's their job. They have to ask those questions, and there's no point going in there if you're a journalist and asking the easy questions. You know, it's for viewerships like Brendan on the DL debate and what have you, and for Ciar's Irish News. I mean, that's what sells to the public. That's what the public want to listen to. That's what the public want to hear. That's what the public want to read. So that's what makes the big headlines. That's what comes out a couple of minutes after the press conference, or makes the evening news, or makes the 8, 9 o'clock news the next morning, you know, and makes the papers the next day. So I can see exactly where the journalists are coming from as well. And, you know, when I know it from a management coaching point of view, you know you're going to be asked these questions, you know, and you try and prepare for them the best you can.
Yeah, yeah. Ciar, just on that, but Donegal, what you've seen and so far, you know, I don't know if you have your wee magnetic board there. You could maybe give us a tactical talk.
Behind me here. Is that, behind me here.
I'm not allowed that. That's especially for you, Ciar. I understand it. But Ciar, tell me, what about Donegal? You know, the big men they're playing, the kick-out battles, the savage strike running they're doing. You said the blistering pace have started that. Is it real a mission of intent for Donegal and just the way they're playing and how they're going about everything at such a high level?
I was thinking about it when you got on to me earlier. I was thinking about what I would sort of talk about, and I would say probably the biggest thing that they've done over the last 4 or 5 weeks is probably rebuilt, because there's no doubt the All-Ireland final would have really dented the confidence in the way that it went and the way that it turned out. And I think Jim McGuinness is looking at the year and he's right, well, we go hard after the league. Do we really need to win a league? No, we don't. But do we need to rebuild the confidence earlier in the year? We probably do. And I think that, you know, in some ways you look at the first 5 rounds of the league and you would almost say that mentally it has eliminated a lot of the damage. It has already counteracted a lot of the harm that was done psychologically that day. And it almost leaves them back in a position where now the only hurdle for them left across is Kerry again, which is, you know, you know, could have been a very different psychological position to be in had they come at the year, said, we'll ease our way into it. and then they're maybe losing to Dublin or they're losing to Kerry and wherever it was that day I was at it, and I can't remember where it was, Ballyshannon or Bundoran, sorry. And, you know, so it just feels like it's been the right way in hindsight for them to go about it. They don't particularly need to win a league title. Trophy would be nice, but it's the confidence they're getting. And look, the big man, you know, Gavin Mulroney has done pretty well. He's a good shot stopper. I still would have concerns. Just there's probably a few more missed kicks than they would like on some of the restarts, and if they can straighten that out, because it looks like, I mean, the noises are maybe Sean Patton is not there for the next few weeks at least. The fact Mark Anthony McGinley was brought back in. So there are definitely things there and out, but they're in a position where they're probably ahead of where they even thought they might be at this stage.
What do you think of that? And as Gary's saying there, Gary, there's been some unbelievable performances right across the board from the team. I mean, I was on radio there the other day, some wee station called RTE, and I actually almost ended up naming the 15 that had played. You know what I mean? I think I named 11. I was like, hold on a second here, because so many of them are playing well. You add in obviously the form of Jason McGee from last year, injury free, Owen Bann in there. I mean, Conor O'Donnell has just been out of this world. Of course, Murphy just come back, and some of the stuff that Shane O'Donnell produced and some of the scores of Langan, you know, again, but you'll end up going through them. I mean, even some of the kicks Mulroney's hit, you know, distance. Like, there's so many players playing really almost to their peak, Gary.
I 100%, you know, when you could add in all the new fellas that have come in this year, the four Masters lads, you know, McCahill, Muldoon, Carr, then the Glenties, Shane Malone contingent as well, and Max Campbell. Max probably to a lesser extent at the moment. He's played a bit of the McKenna Cup. But you know, it's probably to back up with Carr saying, we've brought a real freshness as well to the whole way how we're playing this year. It's, you know, we're at times in the game, usually early on in the game, and lesser extent as the game goes on, we're very much pressing high up the field and going man to man and chasing the game and going after it. And if you look at it, those lads that I name checked there, like, they're bringing huge energy, huge, and you mentioned the likes of Conor O'Donnell as well, huge sprint ability and repeated high speed running ability, that they're able to repeat that time after time. And if you compare that to maybe some of the lads that they've replaced, say the likes of Paddy McVerdy's moved on now, O'Donnell's moved on now, it allows us to play that high octane game high up the pitch to go after teams, put them under serious pressure where they're going to be struggle to build from the back and not get into that zonal shape like we did for the most of last year. We're playing differently now. That's brought a freshness to it as well. It's given us another bow to our, another string to our bow, so it has, I think, later in the championship. I think it's definitely, I know, when I was chatting to somebody during the week, it's probably Jim is the one man and all the managers in the intercounty game who, I was talking to a fellow during the week, and I says he's probably the one man who could probably go and coach a zonal press as opposed to a man-to-man press. I'm coming from the soccer background, I says, because he has that ability of working with the likes of Roger Schmidt and that, to try. I says, I would love to see that, because that would be, talk about innovative, that would be hugely innovative to see that there. And there's no better man that has the background to bring that into the game. So it'd be interesting to see where this goes.
Yeah, definitely. It's interesting. What a time we're living in with these new rules. Some people, you mentioned them coming in, Kieran McGeaney's maybe not that happy about them, seeing as they were the last team to win All-Ireland, and I don't think he likes the bit of chaos that's in there. Some people make, you can overdo the chaos as well, which is interesting. Kieran, just on the last couple of league games, could it be yet that Jim does pull the handbrake? I mean, Roscommon now will be smarting after that defeat to Dublin. They're at home, obviously. Bridget boys are back. You know, you've Monaghan last game away. Now everybody thinks that's a foregone conclusion, but Monaghan will be mad for a morale boosting victory at home to finish it off. Would Jim, what do you think? Would Jim want to end up with Kerry in a league final? And if he did, what I mean, there'd be so much mindset for future championship games put into that match. It would be something I'm wondering, do you think Donegal would want? Or what do you think Donegal will do in the next two games?
Well, I don't think there's any hope of handbrake in terms of what's the point at this stage? You win your games to put yourself in this position. The rest of what happens in the league round, you're kind of out of your control. If you put yourself in a position to reach a league final, you can't really control who you play in it. So the idea of pulling up the handbrake, I think they'll maybe make changes. I think they'll give plenty of game time to fellas who maybe haven't had as much in the first four or five games. But that won't mean a handbrake pulled up, because for those players, that's their audition. And so I don't expect any tail off at all.
Do you not think, against the Galway game, the way, obviously, you know, Finbar Rorty and Mogan and that, you know, the way they were kept back and Murphy, but they were then put in. Is that not kind of a wee bit of an element? Let's say you did that against Roscommon. Are you kind of opening the door to, you know, a potential, you know, well, not control the game, maybe you would with the full side on it. Would there be a case of that going on? And would that be obviously enough then to maybe avoid a league final if that kind of was the mindset?
I think they're two slightly different things. I think pulling the handbrake in, I thought they didn't play particularly well for a long time against Galway, which is a slightly different thing. But I still think the players on the pitch are still going with an energy that maybe there were games in the middle of the league last year that they maybe didn't bring to that. They almost actively wanted to avoid a league final at that point, whereas this year they don't. But that rotation of players will maybe cause, you know, certain elements of your play to break down, and they will probably for the last two league games, you know, think, right, we'll experiment a wee bit with X, Y, or Z. We'll try X, Y, or Z in games and see how it goes. So it'll not be, you know, let's go completely mad over 2 points. But at the same time, I wouldn't call that pulling the handbrake up at all. I just feel that it'll be different players in different positions. And Kerry play Mayo in Tralee this weekend. Obviously, the form Mayo were in, if Mayo go down there and win, it's going to be a Donegal Mayo final. And, you know, that takes the Kerry element out of it. If it's a Kerry Donegal final, I think everybody will expect that that will be a handbrake game, because, you know, neither team is going to want to particularly show a big hand. Look, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Donegal go into that and say, look, there's a chance to put a marker down and beat Kerry in a big game. But I don't know. I don't see it that way at the minute. I think they'd be too concerned about later on in the year to go showing a hand, a full hand, at that point of the season.
What do you think of that, Gary? If it did end up that way, what way would you play that then as a coach, in terms of, you know, obviously the league game mattered very little in terms of the squad that carried it up, but if Kerry put out a good side there, is there a danger, should they win the match, that they're kind of got the up and up, and whereas if Donegal, you know, as Cahir was saying there, if the two teams don't go at it, we probably won't learn too much. But it is Croke Park, and it is obviously that unbelievably talented Kerry team.
Yeah, I was on review to me, like, the Monday after we played Kerry and Ballyshannon, and we were talking about this, and I said, I think it was a bit of Jack Connor and his cute Kerry heroism by not bringing the two Cliffords up, to not give Brendan McCall another opportunity to mark David, to see can he learn, to not maybe give the likes of Fimber Rorty an opportunity to push out now and mark Paddy Clifford. To me, Donegal have so much to gain from playing Kerry in a league final. I think our learnings are huge and way more beneficial than what Kerry would get out of the game. Yes, if Kerry won the game, I see where you're going there with that they're going to really build a confidence in the mind of the Indians, saying they feel over this, and I suppose if they won it comprehensively, they would really drive it into his end. But I just think we have so much to learn. I think Jim would love that opportunity to play against him and give the likes of Fimber that opportunity to mark Paddy, give Brendan Orgo and Brendan McCall and other tweaks and things they would like to do, because then you're throwing it back at Kerry. Then if that works, if Fimber, and I have no doubt he would be able to mark Paddy Clifford and play his own game. Like, I talked to someone there last week about him. I said, I still go back to last year's county final against Guidoor. I says he marked probably Guidoor's best forward, Darrell Boyle. Not alone did he mark him out of the game, he put in an outstanding game going forward and led the charge for Glenties, something that you rarely ever see. You usually see someone taking a man out and that's it. They're not able to influence the game in Norway. So I think he would have the ability to really put Paddy Clifford on the back foot. So
I hope it's a Donegal Kerry final. And you know what? It could be damn near sellout high, because I think the whole country would just love to get there to see that. It could be one of the highest ever attendances for a league final.
There you go. You might. Do you think the Kerry boys would come out? They traditionally, it's hard enough to get them out for a semi-final. But no, hey, listen, it would be an absolutely fascinating game, and we'll see if that is how it materialises. Kerry, you were just, I just seen one of your articles there. You were talking about goals scored this year, like it was close on double last year. There is a crazy amount of goals being opened up, and in many ways, I think it's put maybe the amount for a goal put to bed, because I think if it was up at four now, it could actually it could rip games apart. I think there's so much goal opportunities now, but Kerry, the amount of chances being created, and Kerry, I'd like to ask you about this as well after, in terms of a coach's perspective, but you know, particularly teams like Monaghan against Dublin and even Armagh in the last few games, just creating a sight of goal chances and hardly converting any of them, and it's caused them to lose matches.
It was a kind of a natural progression nearly for it after the thing settled down, where people started to realise the value of the two-pointer, obviously, and we've seen the kind of correlation between two-pointers and league position at the minute this year, which is pretty strong. But the more defences then sort of really squeezed out around the arc, the more space it created in behind, because you're only defending by 11, you can only do so much. And I thought the prime example was Conor Donnell's goal against Armagh, where I really thought Armagh's defending for 3 minutes was brilliant. They didn't allow a Donegal player onto their stronger foot around the arc to get a kick off. But then the one runner broke the line, and all of a sudden there was this huge space in behind, because they were so hyper-focused on the arc that it created goals. Yeah, I think it was after round five, it was 48 goals up from 37 last year. Even the 37 figure last year was a bit of a cod, because there was one round where there was 13. Mm. And so, like, I think we'll see that trend probably continue as the year goes on.
Gary, just on that, Gary, you look at goals, when you're shooting for points, and it's fairly routine practicing to training. So you can get that right, but goals, there's so much going on around where you're at. Are you running? Are you taking a few steps? How many players is around? Where's the keeper at? The angle? It's very hard to actually create goal scenarios in training, you know, in terms of what'll happen in the game. So really it comes down to that wee bit of composure just when you connect with the ball. And as we see a lot of people, you know, they'll either underhit it, they'll sky it. You know, I think Conor Donnell's example was one of the best. I mean, Conor Donnell totally placed and buried that in the far side of the net. Like, there's not many people who can hit the ball like that. And I'm just wondering, as you, like, you're coaching now, how you kind of set up training that you can kind of make the most of them goal opportunities. It's a difficult one to do at training, Gary.
I hear what you're saying. You know, suppose for you as a team, to create them goals, create the goal chance a wee bit easier, Brendan, you need the 2-point threat. If you have a couple of players with a 2-point threat, the opposition know that they have to step out, or you're just going to keep nailing twos. And that's where the goal opportunities arise then, when they step out about and leave the gaps. And listen, from a coaching perspective, then it's almost walkthroughs unopposed at the start to get the confidence built and get the patterns of play built into the players of what you want and how it happens. It comes down to that word that you said there, composure as well. But then the other key thing is repetition, 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 repetition. It's just over and over to build it, almost build it in as part of your muscle memory. And, you know, after it's on a pose, you know, pick up the speed, then maybe even at the start, get it down, but you walk and jog it and pick up the speed then, and then start adding in maybe, you know, a 2v1, adding a defender, a 3v2, 4v3s, etc. Try and build that, and then try and build it from different areas off the pitch. Suppose, you know, coming down the middle, coming in from the left, coming in from the right, and you're just trying to create all the situations where you can create goals, and maybe by creating overloads, and if the opposition go, maybe you're leaving a 1v1 or a 2v2 on the opposite side, or maybe if your overload's really good as well, and the opposition don't press over, you can use that overload to your advantage. What you do need is a really intelligent group of players to do all of that. And I think at the minute, Donegal are quite blessed and lucky that our football and IQ is very good.
Yeah, certainly. The drum man's listening in here, Slot Neil's going to be raining goals. Gary, I must ask you a question in a bit about life in the shadow of the Spurs there and how it's getting on for you. But, Gary, just a word on the Derrymen. They're on the rise. You know what? A lot can be made about the first game defeat when Derry still created a lot of chances. But since then, Gary, they've been getting better and better. But what a second half against Cork the last day. I mean, people were billing it as the two best teams in the division, and certainly in that second half, Derry were on another level. It's as good as half from Derry men and you've seen in a long time.
Aye, look, they're definitely pretty rapidly progressing, as I felt they would under Kieran. I mean, you know, we know that it's there with that group of players. They won back-to-back Ulster championships. They were in back-to-back All-Ireland semi-finals, could have carried away. It's largely the same group of players, and they just had lost their way a wee bit. I knew Kieran would settle it down. He brought a pretty strong coaching team in around him. And I thought, you know, I noticed actually over the weekend, the bookies have now got them as fourth favourites for the All-Ireland, which is a bit of a mad statement in some ways when you think they're playing Division 2 football. But the big thing for me is that I felt that the biggest thing that Derry have had to fix over the last couple of years was the kickouts from both ends. They struggled on their own and they struggled on the opposition's, and it meant that they were sort of living off a deficiency of possession. And then the Cork game, like in that spell from when they got their press sorted after 25 minutes, they won 13 of Cork's next 16 kickouts and scored 12 points off it. And that spell in itself, if you watch that spell, they're so organised, they're so tuned in, they were so good on their own kickouts as well. They have a keeper who has a lower, flatter kick now than in the past, and it's getting to where it needs to go faster. And so, look, I think there's a lot good about Derry at the minute. I always expected, before the ball was kicked this year, that they'd be well in the mix, and nothing I've seen has changed that.
Yeah, indeed. And listen, hats off them. Yeah, really enjoying their resurgence. They had a tight couple of years here. Gary, a team that's stuttering a bit to Rowan. After the All-Ireland semi-final last year, Gary, no more than we thought we'd Derry, that everybody was thinking, right, these two boys will come straight back up. But it hasn't been that way. I know they've had injuries. Like some McCurry and McGeary are coming back there. You know, Petey Hart retired. You obviously have a bit of the Canavan situation. I think this war in Iran might delay that trip. I don't want to get political. I would never do that, Gary. But, yeah, listen, Tyrone at the minute, are you surprised? Because we just felt the stardust of Malachy O'Rourke with all the underage success. They were lording it at Ulster level, but national level, particularly at under-20s, Gary. And you just thought, right, here we go. But certainly it hasn't been that way so far, Gary. Or could this all change very quickly? You know, sure, should they beat Armagh in that opening game, Tyrone will say, listen, it was all about the championship.
No, I think you touched the nail on the head there. He said the stardust of Malaga work. I mean, Malaga's nothing to prove, I don't think, to anyone. Everything he touched turned to gold over the last number of years as regards the Mahara story. Before that, Monaghan, you know, what he did with him was unbelievable as well. To me, it's like you're touching on a lot of good points there. You said about the under-age success, the amount of under-21 titles, the amount of McCrory Cups, Hogan Cups back-to-back, like almost CBS. They have the talent, they have the players there. They're just finding it really difficult at the minute. It kind of reminds me of when we were in the doldrums a couple of years ago, you know, nearly looking to the older players, the likes of Matty Donnelly. They're looking to now, and it shouldn't be really up to Matty because he owes Tyrone GAA nothing, so he doesn't. You know, he's carried them for years, very much so like our old Michael Murphy. He owes Donegal GAA nothing. I just think the players looking from the outside in, and listen, we're all hearing stories recently. They're making it very difficult looking from the outside in on Malachy O'Rourke. I think it doesn't look great, so it doesn't, with Canavan heading away, and you're hearing all these different stories about what's going on and who's seeing this and seeing that. And it's, you know, the probably Kieran McGeary, I heard, is back in the country, so that'll definitely be a boost. He's the kind of player, they need players around that age profile there. They're kind of lacking that middle-aged leadership. There's players there, but they're certainly not leading. If we look at the previous management team, they didn't exactly row in behind them either. you know, and at the minute it doesn't look as if they're rowing in fully in behind Malaga Rook and doing everything that they can for Malaga and Ryan Porter there, because I think they have to start looking at themselves, look at the man in the mirror first before they start looking at others, because that's two management teams in a row now. It hasn't happened for that group of players.
Yeah, yes, indeed. Cahir, last question to you. I'll let you go. You have a wee woman there. Who's that wee lady with you there?
That's her, Sarah. She's sitting up my knee right over her bed here. There's 10 minutes.
She's on screen. She looks like a wee woman should be on TV. All right, good kid. Cahir, just throw last question to you and I'll let you roll that. I'll finish off with Gary there. Cahir. The Warmwiller training camps, just looking there, you know, the amount of teams taking them and just looking at the money spent in GA teams and the rise in that, you know, 46 million spent in 2025. The big thing about that is, Cahir, it's a 27% increase on 2 years previous. I was thinking to myself, like, that is some jump. I mean, where is that going in terms of money being spent? I mean, it's just going up and up. Yeah, and again, we have this bit of haves, have-nots situation, you know, with the better teams and what camps mean to them, you know, in terms of bonding and the training you get in and all that there. You know, what's your feeling on these camps?
I suppose the warm weather element of it is twofold. A, it's more pleasant. They're not in any way holidays, but it at least it gives you a wee bit of weather when you're doing it. But there's loads of teams spend camps around Johnson House and different places as well that are, you know, you go to Johnson House for 3 or 4 days, probably no less expensive than flying a crowd of boys away foreign, because the Republic is so expensive now in itself. But the money side of it, I mean, we've been using for years the word unsustainable around the finances, and yet every year it sustains, and counties are finding more and more inventive ways of raising the money that they need to keep the show on the road. And where do I stand on them? I suppose a wee bit of equilibrium would be no harm. Like if you're playing for one of the top counties, you're probably getting these now on an annual basis, if not twice or three times or four times a year, maybe one foreign or two foreign if you're lucky, and then a couple around home as well. But at the lower end of the scale, you're not getting much of that. And I suppose it's just balancing out the rewards for players. But look, they're, from all reports, I've obviously never been on one, but they're pretty intense. You know, there's a lot of work done, a huge volume of stuff that can be done. Look, they just live like professional athletes for those 3 or 4 days and put the time into video work and obviously physical work and football work and nice weather. So they're probably are more beneficial than people realise. For teams, you can get a lot sorted in those 4 or 5 full days that you're away, whether they're value for money, whether 80 grand's worth of that, don't know, but they're going to continue unless the GA bans them, which was in the conversation recently. Talked about pulling the pin on them, but I think we're going to see a few more of them for a while yet.
Yeah, I think so. And listen, Cahir, you drum boys, of course, came to, that was more a lever workout that you had when you came to Letterkenny.
We were Letterkenny Gales playing there last weekend then as well. We were with them. But that didn't go so well. Big Ronan Frayn came on and did a fair bit of damage.
As he does.
He came on and he kicked 1-7 in about 7 minutes. he was handy big unit now, so.
Yes. Gary, listen, you bounce on there, you look after that little lady, and thanks so much for joining us. Me and Gary will see you out the rest of the show. We'll talk about a slack Neil, so you can eavesdrop later if you want to tune it in.
Thanks a million, man.
Cheers, Cahir.
Top
man. Hey, just before we get there, Gary, obviously we were in Johnson House Unions there a couple of years ago. I know you've only got to Garton Lake for a bit of raft building with Glenn Swilly, but that's as far as you. I'm just thinking, if Cahir was right, we should have been away off. That would be some great case in Unions away off to the Algarve there for a training camp. Hey, you'd only won the championship if that was the case.
You'd be certainly heaping the pressure on yourself. Remember there was wild stories years ago when the All-Ireland Fela, it was way before COVID, I think maybe around 14 or so, and there was under 14 teams going together on camp. So there was pre-Fela, some of the Dublin teams. I remember hearing stories at the time and created huge headlines across the country.
Yes, yes. Hey, listen, it's all interesting stuff. Tell me, as I said, Gary, you're up in the Spurs now, with Sláintneil. Some history there, Gary. Some club to be a part of. And tell me, how has it been in the early few weeks of just, you know, Gary, obviously, particularly you're a lot of coaching at county teams, St. Union's College, and of course your own club, where you know everybody inside out. What's it been like going in there, not just a new set of players, but a new county?
Yeah, it's been really good, Brent, I suppose, you know, and trying to get develop my own insight and own knowledge of Derry football and of Derry players, and obviously Sláintneil players first and foremost, and then trying to extend out beyond that circle. And listen, suppose from my own point of view, I've probably had a very closed coaching environment, as you named it all out there, from coaching in my own club, from coaching in Wade Donegal, with coaching in the college. And so it's very much a very closed environment as regards within our own county. So when the opportunity arose, just with, you, like you said, the history of the club, with the quality of the player that's there, with the opportunity to work with an All-Ireland winning club manager from working in Dublin, with a Kula, Austin O'Malley, and then played with Mayo himself as well. There's just so many things that ticked the box. Listen, it's something, suppose, that they've been in touch over the last 5 or 6 years, and time was never right just for me. And listen, between the players and the people in the club people, and between Austin O'Malley himself, they just kept coming at me, and they eventually broke me, Brendan, and got me to commit. So I'm really enjoying it since I've given that commitment to them, and it's good, you know, in the sense that you're going into a totally new environment and getting like starting from scratch again, and I think it's going to be really really good and exciting prospect for us for the year ahead. And suppose, you know, our league's not starting to the middle April, I think 16th April is the first weekend of the league, so it gives us a nice wee block now, an opportunity to get this next month, you know, to get to know the players a bit better, and you know, and find wee niches and find things that will work well for the group, and look at areas we can try and make them better.
Yeah, yeah. As your chairman, Liam Shack, would say, that's a queer man, you sent us up there. That's a queer man, you sent us up.
He's a great man, Liam. He was on the phone, actually, at the start when all this, before it happened, you know, when, listen, he's just a really good person. So he is up there, as it's one thing I found, that the people are really good when I went up to Sláintneil, just really genuine, salt of the earth, true people, honest people. Have your back, you know, and just a real sense of loyalty right away when I walked in the door.
Yeah, funny, from years ago, I remember being up there, Gary, and I would hear stories about families living in different parts of Derry, but the kids would have been taken back to Sláintneil to play, you know.
That's still happening. Funny, I was talking to some of the management team, and they were telling me that about different players who bring their children back who are no longer living in the area, you know, because it is quite a small area. Like, they don't even have a village, and they don't have a shop or nothing like that there, and they're relying on those players to bring their children back to keep the underage afloat and try and bring players through to senior level. So you've had the nail on the head. That's still happening.
Yeah, just carefully, some of our St. Union's players have ended up out in Glenswilly direction. We must have a word, make sure they're coming back.
You've got plenty in return now.
Gary, listen, hey, brilliant wrap up. Thanks so much for joining us this evening. Good luck in the season. We'll be keeping an eye on things with Sláintneil. I'm sure we'll be hearing you on the show plenty.
Aye, no bother to be. Aye, and hopefully we get a good result against the Rossies on Sunday night.
That's it. Sort out the Rossies. Gary, thanks very much, Slán. We'll be speaking to you soon. Slán, I want to thank him, of course, Ciarán O'Keehan, and earlier Mickey McCann. And folks, that wraps up the show this evening. Paul McDevitt's out here. Look, he's getting pumped up. He gets psyched before every show. He's on his own, ready for the Monday night sessions. Jimmy Stafford's here. As ever, the two lads are going to take it away. I will speak to you all next week.